Meet the Press, the prize-winning interview program produced by Lawrence Spivak. Ready for the unrehearsed conference are Max Lerner of the Post Syndicate, Stuart Hensley of UPI, Chalmers Roberts, the Washington Post and Time Herald, and Frank Burkholzer of NBC News. They'll talk with Willy Brandt, mayor of West Berlin, whose city has been under Soviet threat since November of 1958. To moderate tonight's program, here is Lawrence Spivak.
Today's guest, Mr. Willy Brandt, is probably the world's best-known mayor. A journalist before entering politics, he was elected mayor of Berlin in 1957. Since then, the courage and determination he has displayed against Soviet threats to his city have brought him international acclaim. Today, he is the candidate of his party for Chancellor of Germany. If elected, he would replace Konrad Adenauer. This fall's German election, considered one of the most important in the country's recent history, is attracting worldwide attention. And now, Mayor Brandt, we'll begin the questions with Mr. Burkholzer.
Mr. Mayor, to start out on the subject of Berlin, many German leaders in the past have taken the point of view that any change in the status of West Berlin would only be a change for the worse, outside of reunification, of course. Now, there's consideration, we hear, of a new approach to the question of West Berlin. Can you say whether you think it would be fruitful to seek a new approach to the Berlin situation, the Berlin problem?
Well, it's still hard for me to believe that the Soviet Union started the Berlin crisis in order to improve conditions in Berlin and for the Berliners. And I think as far as the basic rights of the Western powers are concerned, it still would be dangerous to propose a change, because I think it is still true to say that the Russian move is not only directed against a few million people living in Berlin, which is important enough, especially for the mayor of Berlin, but it also is directed against American prestige and an important issue of the Western world as a whole. This would not exclude to discuss details, but as I said, I cannot believe that the Russian side started the crisis in order to improve the conditions. So it might be true that the status quo, after all, is better than any status quo minus certain changes which would have to take place.
Another question on the subject of your responsibility for the security of West Berlin and the people of West Berlin. There's been much discussion of the adequacy of the NATO forces to protect such exposed targets as Berlin certainly is. Could you say whether you feel the conventional forces of NATO should be increased and whether tactical nuclear weapons should be stressed in this kind of buildup?
Well, I think there never has been any attempt to bring or any program which would mean that one would have to bring nuclear weapons to Berlin. On the other side, I think that there is no way of just following one line in the defense of Western Europe. What we need, I think, are both things. We need a strengthening of conventional forces, and I think we have to combine it in the right way with with the risk which is connected with nuclear arms.
Would you include, since you are also a political candidate, would you include in this the arming of West German forces with nuclear weapons?
I would say, as I have said on behalf of my party, that I'm opposed to increasing the number of states which have the right to use nuclear weapons. So the question of the role of Germany in this field is a question of what the Western community, the NATO community, may find is the right thing to do. I do not regard this being a question of the West German army, but a question of NATO and of the Western community.
Mr. Hensley.
Mr. Mayor, Soviet Premier Khrushchev a few weeks ago sent a communication to Chancellor Adenauer in which he restated the demands on Berlin and Germany This came after a period of relative quiet. Do you anticipate that this spring or this summer we're going to see another increase in pressure on Berlin to bring a crisis as we had in 58 and 59?
It's hard, of course, to predict what will happen, but personally, I'm inclined to believe that we will not have a new Berlin crisis within the next few months. But the memorandum indicates that new pressure might come sometimes later this year.
Well, Mr. Mayor, another point I wanted to ask you about. When you arrived in New York yesterday, you said that you thought that the United States' attitude on Berlin was as firm as ever. But you added that, quote, there are new problems and we must try to understand them correctly. I'm wondering if you would let us have your idea of what these new problems are.
I think it would be a misunderstanding to connect these words with remark I made on Berlin. I just pointed at the changing conditions in world politics, and I think many intelligent people in Washington these days and weeks have their discussions trying to find out what the changes in world developments are and what one should do in order to react upon them in a proper way.
Well, in that connection, this is something that is connected with United States policy with regard to Germany. Now, Dr. Erich Mende, who is the chairman of the Free Democratic Party in West Germany, visited the United States last month, and upon his return to Bonn, he held a news conference, and he was quoted as saying there that it was his impression, after talking with officials and others here, that, and these are his words, the United States is going to stop treating West Germany as a child among democratic nations and start treating it as an adult. He also said that he thought the new Kennedy administration was going to speak to West Germany hard, openly, and unsparingly. Do you know what he's talking about? Do you share these views? And if you do, what do you think about it?
Well, I have had no chance to talk with Erich Mende since he returned from the United States, but I hope he is right. And even if he hadn't said it, I would express it as part of my own conviction that West Germany, the Federal Republic, can not only play the role of repeating things which have been said by their partners in the Western community. The Federal Republic would have to contribute its own proposals, own ideas, own observations in order to develop a common policy. And after things have been discussed and agreed upon, then we'll have to follow the common policy in a loyal way. I think it's something like this Erich Mende also wanted to express, that after a period where we have been assisted in a way, we'll have to behave ourselves like grown-up people, and I hope we will be able to do so.
I'd like to follow up one point that Mr. Burkholzer asked you about with respect to nuclear defense. The previous administration, Mr. Eisenhower and Mr. Herter, tentatively suggested a plan to give NATO its own nuclear task force. They mentioned 5 submarines armed with Polaris missiles, I believe. In connection with your discussion about the defense of the NATO countries, would you favor such a task force for NATO, Mr. Brown?
I would prefer first to listen to what the Secretary of Defense and Secretary of the State and other gentlemen I'm going to see tomorrow and the day after tomorrow think about these problems now.
Mr. Roberts.
Mr. Mayor, for the last several years, we in America have seen Germany through the eyes of Chancellor Adenauer and have got to know where he stands, whether we agree or not. If you are elected, if your party wins in the September election and you become the Chancellor of Germany, what differences would there be in West German foreign policy in relation to the United States?
There will be important changes in domestic policy. There will be no changes in principle, as far as foreign policy is concerned. By other words, an alternative government in Germany will regard friendship with the United States being a cornerstone of our foreign policy, and will regard our membership in the Western community being an unchangeable part of our foreign political way of thinking and acting. On the other side, it may be that, and I hope it will be so, that a new government will be more inclined to follow changing conditions in the world and, for example, not only will regard the world problems being a result of the East-West conflict, knowing that there are many other problems which come in addition to this dominating East-West conflict.
Would there be any change in the German attitude towards political union in Europe, the idea of the United States of Europe? Do you favor more of a merger, say, with France or possibly even with Britain than the present government of Chancellor Adenauer?
Well, see, being the mayor of Berlin, I live at a place where one every day gets the results of one split of Europe, that split which has been carried through by Soviet power. It's very hard to accept the idea that we get another split of Europe, this time the non-communist Europe. So I think what we would have to do would be two things. One, in a loyal way, to follow the Treaty of Rome, the treaty which founded the common market, the six, France, Italy, Germany, and Benelux, but at the same time, do as much as possible in order to reduce the difficulties between the six and the seven, between the common market and the rest of free Europe.
Are you saying that you really are for more integration of Europe than you think the Chancellor and his party is?
I would not go as far as that, but I think we would try, and I would try, to bring as many people, as many nations of Europe into that cooperation.
Mr. Lerner.
Mr. Brandt, Chancellor Adenauer has expressed an anxiety, a fear, as to the repercussions of the Eichmann trial in Israel for German world prestige. How do you feel about that?
I hope the Chancellor is wrong. I hope the Chancellor is wrong. But in any case, the Eichmann trial will bring up again the whole bad story of the Third Reich, terrible things which happened, and it may be that people abroad, including good friends, may ask themselves if there really has taken place a change between Hitler's Germany and the new Germany and the Federal Republic. I hope we will be able, if necessary, to explain that a change really has taken place.
I'd like to go back, Mr. Mayor, to some unfinished business in the earlier questions. You, on the question of NATO, you seem to be a little reluctant to go very far with discussing that, but forgive me if I ask you another question there. Suppose that a decision were to be made by NATO to accept atomic warheads, nuclear warheads, for some kind of atomic force. Suppose also, as is very likely, that the Russians would regard this with great hostility and that it might have some bearing upon disarmament talks between America and Russia. Would you regard a decision of NATO within that context as being a wise one?
I could hardly believe that if America starts serious talks on disarmament and gets the impression that the Russians would regard the development you point at being a hindrance of talks like that, that America at the same time, as a member of NATO, would recommend what would be dangerous for disarmament talks. But if we have to make a choice, our loyalty towards NATO would have the first priority.
Even though disarmament may well involve The failure of disarmament may well involve a doom for the world, both Berlin, NATO, America, and Russia.
We would have to rely upon the leading partner in the Western community. What the Western world needs is leadership, and it's only the United States and the President of the United States who can give that leadership. We have to rely upon it, because otherwise we would have to move, so to say, between the front lines. And I think our friends abroad would not like that idea.
Suppose the leading partner were to get the idea that it might help very much in relations for the whole world if Berlin were to become genuinely an international free city with its freedom and its international status guaranteed by the United Nations. How would you, both as mayor of Berlin and as a potential future chancellor of West Germany, regard that?
Well, I have said earlier, and I would repeat here, that I would not oppose ideas of engaging the United Nations in one field or another in connection with Berlin. But I think it would not be a good idea to replace Western responsibilities in Berlin by UN responsibilities. I would not point at special cases in other parts of the world, other continents, but it would not be too difficult to point at developments in certain other parts of the world in order to make it clear that we feel much more secure under Western responsibility than we would be at this moment under UN responsibility.
You mean actually that the conditions in Berlin might be somewhat parallel to those in the Congo? I gather that's your hint.
What I mean is that as long as the three Western powers take care of their responsibility, the Russians know that certain acts from their side would include a serious risk from the other side. It would not be as clear in the case of the UN.
Mr. Mayor, it's over 2.5 years since Khrushchev first threatened Berlin. How do you explain the fact that he has taken no real steps to sign a separate treaty despite that? Do you think he's just been bluffing?
Well, when he started the new Berlin crisis in November 1958, he may have based his moves on false information. He may have believed that he could squeeze the West out of Berlin without running a serious risk. This was a miscalculation, and since then he has had to make up his mind from time to time, and he has found out that the risk of taking a unilateral action in Berlin was too great compared with interests he had in other fields.
And then you would say that despite his present bluster, you think that nothing will be done by him if the West stands firm again.
He must know that Berlin is a matter of vital importance for the Western community as a whole and is not regarded just as a local problem.
Mr. Burkholzer.
Mr. Mayor, you've been asked about the possible repercussions of the Eichmann trial overseas, but I'm wondering if there might be some repercussions within West Germany itself. Might there be an effect on the elections, for example?
I do not think so. I have been traveling around last week. I had some meetings, various parts in West Germany, and I think understood everywhere people, wherever they may have stood during the bad years from 1933 to 1945, are very much interested in making it clear that they wouldn't identify themselves with what Eichmann stood for.
Mr. Hensley.
Mr. Mayor, the United States, of course, is reviewing everything right now. In the way of policy, and they have Mr. Acheson working on with a task force on a review of NATO policy. One of their problems that they're talking about is whether NATO's scope should be broadened to make it a more effective instrument of economic warfare against the Soviet psychological and trade and aid offensive. I don't know what their decision is going to be, but I wonder what you think should be done in this field.
I'm very much in favor of strengthening NATO and the Western cooperation as a whole. I think we must not limit ourselves too much to military thinking. Of course, military defense is of great importance, but we must include the important political and economic and psychological and spiritual elements of the great struggle which is going on.
Gentlemen, we have about 2.5 minutes. Mr. Lerner.
Mr. Mayor, it's been said that your Social Democratic Party is democratic, but not very socialist now, and that in your reframing of the party platform, you have largely abandoned socialism both in aim and in method. Is that true?
It depends upon what you mean by socialism, sir. Gone through the Scandinavian experience during many years of my life, and I'm influenced very much by what they call socialism in that part of the world, a pragmatic attitude, which I think leads to good results. It is undogmatic. I think it leads to better results than to study old books and brochures.
Mr. Hensley.
Mr. Mayor, in 1957, your Social Democratic Party polled about 32% of the vote. Now, we know that your personal popularity is going to raise that figure. Possibly other issues will, too. But if you should not win the election, but make a very strong showing, would you try for or would you be willing to accept the idea of a coalition government with the Christian Democrats?
I should be inclined to put a counter question, which I am not entitled to do, but have you ever seen a candidate in the United States who would answer the question of what he would do if he would not win the election? A candidate has to express the conviction, and in this case it is my conviction, that my party has a good chance to win. But besides of that, even if we win, we would be able to have a basis which is as stable as possible, and there may be situations where one has to bring other people into the government and not limit the whole thing to the own group.
Very short one now.
Mr. Mayor, we understand there's been an attack upon you and your residence outside of Germany during the Hitler period, and Chancellor Adenauer spoke on this the other day. Are you satisfied with the statement that Chancellor Adenauer made?
Well, I would like to comment on that at home.
I think we'll, on that note, Mr. Mayor, we'll have to interrupt. Our time is up.
Our thanks to Mayor Willy Brandt of West Berlin and to the members of the panel, Max Lerner of the Post Syndicate, Stuart Hensley of UPI, Chalmers Roberts of the Washington Post and Time Herald, and Frank Burkholzer, NBC News. Meet the Press, which is in its 16th year on the air, is produced by Lawrence Spivak.